Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? Good? I'm so glad to see everybody's faces. I'm so glad that you're here in the house today. For everybody who's watching online, thank you so much for tuning in. We love that you're a part of our family. I just want to welcome all of our guests today. If you are here for our baptisms, if you're here just, you came in, thank you so much. We welcome you. We're so glad you're here. And we want to let you know about the Connect Room. It's on that side of the hallway. It's a chance for you to get to know some of our staff and our pastors, and we are going to spoil you with snacks and fresh coffee. So please make your way over there after service today if you're a first-time guest. Wanted to let you know that we are having our first ever security conference the first week of June, June 6th and 7th. It's for anyone who's concerned about the uptick in violence in our community and our society today. It's not just for people who are working in security, but if you're interested in that, you can go out to the front desk to sign up to attend. Also, we have Easter coming. Easter's in 3 weeks. It's crazy. And it feels like we've lost so much time last year. We're not stepping back this year. We are having Easter. The Great Egg Hunt is going to be Saturday the 3rd at 10 a.m. We always do a fun thing on that Saturday. There's going to be bounce houses, prizes, an egg hunt, photo booth, lots of candy. We're still looking for candy donations, so you can always bring those. And lastly, Easter services. We're going to have 3 services on Easter Sunday. So there's a 7:30, a 9, and 11, and there'll be our Great Return production happening on that Sunday. So please invite your friends. Please join us. We are celebrating Easter. If you could please stand and join me for worship.
Okay, who has a high expectation this morning of the Spirit of God's move? Hallelujah! We've got baptisms this morning. I am so excited. We haven't done those, but I love baptisms because you can see people get set free right in the middle of worship, just working in people's lives. So if you've got to raise expectation, I just want you to raise your hands. If you're expecting God to move, and I just want you to get one thing in your head that you're expecting God to do for you. It can be in the middle of worship. Nobody has to come lay hands on you. The Spirit of God Himself can come in and touch your heart. So let's pray for that. Lord, I just thank you that your Spirit is here, Lord. Your word says that you live in the praises of your people. And we praise you right now, God. You deserve all of the glory. You deserve all of the praise. Every good and perfect thing that has happened in our lives, we give that credit to you, Jesus. You're the one that's healed us. You're the one that set us free, Lord. You're the one that produces miracles in our lives, God, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Does anybody else smell an aroma, or is it just me? Oh, yeah, I got some great testimonies this week. I just want you to know it's good to be back home. Don't you love my wife? Isn't she an amazing person? That's my grandson, Ezra. Hi, Ezra. He has the amazing scowl, doesn't he? We just want to give great testimony. This week has been a phenomenal week for the kingdom of God. And what we mean, what happened? He puked?
Oh.
On Wednesday night was our very first back to Matthew 25 and his kids, busing in children, 47 children, and 4 salvations. Amen. On Thursday night in the ladies' ministry, 3 ladies were reconciled to the Lord. And then also 9 teenagers were baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And then on Friday night, many of you don't know, Uproar One Nights are when Pastor Cody takes a team and they go to another city and they do an uproar at another city. They were in Pittsburgh this last week. And in Pittsburgh, they had 12 salvations and 6 young people baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen? What a phenomenal week for Jesus. Pastor Chad texted me, he goes, and I led somebody to the Lord on rock solid faith on Thursday night. So people are getting saved. People's lives are being changed. Isn't that what this is all about? It's about bringing glory to God and watching Jesus change our lives. And today we want to welcome all of you guests. Thank you so much for being here for the water baptism. It's going to be fun. And we're going to hold your loved ones. Some of you paid me extra to hold your loved ones under longer. And I just want to say I love you. Thank you. But we're just excited that Jesus is here. And right after service, if you are a guest this morning, if you'll make your way right on the other side of this wall, we have a guest reception, a connect room just for you. We have some food. We want to bless you. We want to encourage you. And I know that you'll enjoy yourself. So please, we'd love to have you right after service. Are you ready to worship? Now, for those who don't know what we do, during worship is when we do our water baptism. So we want you to get right into the presence of the Lord. Let's stir up the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. And let's get ready to see Jesus set people free. Amen?
Amen.
I love you. Let's worship, Pastor. Yeah.
When I call your name, something happens. 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 When I call, come on, sing that. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens, happens when I call your name. Something 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 happens when I call your name. Come on, sing that. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call. Come on, one more time. Something happens when I call your name. 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 Come on, clap, clap, clap. And mountains move when I call your name. Mountains move. Chains are loose when I call your name. Something happens when I call.
comes the glory of the Lord. Here comes the glory of the Lord. Sweeping in the room. Yeah, here comes the glory. Here comes the glory.
Here comes the power of
Not only for your presence, but we honor you for who you are. God, you have changed us. We are not the same. Thank you for a supernatural transformation. Thank you, God, that you never gave up on us, not even once. That Jesus, even when we seemed like we were so far, that God, you came so much further to make sure that we would be not lost for eternity. You may be seated real quick. Before Dean sits, I just want to introduce you to Dean. Dean, come on over here. Come here, Dean, right over here. This guy right here is such an amazing, amazing man. Many of you might not know him. But this guy, if you ever heard Dean's testimony, you would never think that he would ever have given his heart to Jesus, number one. But now that he's given his heart to Jesus, he's one of those kind of Jesus freaks that doesn't mind, he's not ashamed to tell somebody about Jesus. For years, I'm talking years, I didn't even realize it, but for years, Dean walked to church every single morning, no matter what the weather, no matter what the time. How far is it from your place? 4.5 miles one way. He would walk to church early morning, like dead of cold in the morning, and walk back. Now, every once in a while, you get rides. Once in a while, I get rides. But he walked. You know something? If we ever get the heart of saying, God, I don't care what it costs me, I'm going to serve you with everything I have. Some of us, we can't even get out of bed to come to church on a Sunday morning. Never mind walk 4.5 miles. I remember Jay Parmeter one time, you had walked to Rock Solid Faith. And Jay was so concerned because he's walking home in the dead of dark. And Jay turned around and gave him his neon orange jacket. You made it home safe that night, huh? Yeah, oh yeah.
I always make home safe. Jesus takes care of me.
That's right, he does. And I just want to say, there are some people that at times, they overwhelm me. And I appreciate my relationship with the Lord. But I haven't always had to pay as much as other people. You know, some of us sinned worse. Some of us came from different backgrounds. And this man inspires me. And he inspires me because no matter what the cost, last week, it was Tuesday. He's on his way to Rock Solid Faith on Tuesday night. And I pulled into a guy's driveway, pulled out in the middle of the road, almost got killed. Took him to church, but he had already walked 3.5 miles. Can you imagine if our tenacity to know God was to that capacity? Where would you be today if you were willing to walk, no matter what the cost, to get to hear the Word of God. Some of you are watching on live stream, and I appreciate you. I thank you that you're part of our family. But I want to encourage you, it's time to return. Amen. It's the great return. It's the great return of the body of Christ. And I'm very excited about this season. The Lord spoke to me. The bride's returning. So we've seen a lot of folks return to the house of God. And I just want to say thank you for coming home. Dean, you inspire me, and I love you. And I just wanted to let people know how much of a blessing you are.
Well, you know, Pastor, I feel what Jesus did for me on the cross, I could walk 4.5 miles to see him.
That's right. He just said, for what Jesus did for him on the cross, he figures he can walk 4.5 miles to come to his house. Amen. I love you. It's going to be a great day. How many of you know that we've been in a phenomenal season? I know, I understand. I haven't forgotten Morgan. We're in a phenomenal season of spiritual growth and maturity individually and corporately. And this year we've been ministering on that we are to change forward. Turn to someone and say, you got to change forward. Turn to someone and say, I love change. Now you can ask God to forgive you. Amen for lying. Change is one of the most challenging things in our lives because we all like what we like and we want comfort. We don't want to be out of our comfort zone. But the challenge is if you're never going to get out of your comfort zone, you're never going to grow to a new zone. You know, Jesus is the great shepherd. What I love about the great shepherd is he always takes his sheep to green pastures. Amen. We know the verse. Amen. The book of Psalms. It's important to recognize that after a while, the sheep eat the grass to the nub, which means all the way to the very bottom. You can't get another piece of the grass. And then the shepherd will always look at the sheep and say, we're going to another field. We're going to another place. We're going to another pasture that is now green and filled and perfect, and you're just going to love it. But amazingly, there are many, many, many sheep that stay back at the old pasture complaining about the nubs when they could have green grass. And I want to challenge you to always be an individual that is willing to change. Turn to somebody and say, I love change. Tell somebody else, I'm prophesying this morning to myself. I love change. Now, I think that's important. I haven't forgotten Morgan. Thank you. This morning, I want to preach a message on this. I want to change. I've actually found over 33 years of ministry that majority of people want to change. The majority of people, I should say, want better. I found very few people that want less. I found very few people that are satisfied with just where they're at and wouldn't take any more. Someone once said to me, well, I don't believe in prosperity at all. I said, awesome. The next time your boss offers you a raise, tell him no. Or the next time the government wants to send you a stimulus check, send it back. Yeah, I didn't think I'd get a lot of amens on that one. You see, we all want more. But you can't have more if you're always going to be where you are. And the challenge is that each one of us have to embrace that unless we are willing to change forward, then we're always going to remain where we are. And where you are might not be that bad, but what God has is greater. Many of us have slipped into a delusion to actually believe that what I have is the best that can be offered. I want you to know your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, your mind cannot comprehend the great things that God has in store for those who love him. You cannot even comprehend what God has for you. But many of us start off, and when we come to the crossroads of change, we'll actually make decisions to change, but at times we'll retract. And now I want to introduce to you one of our daughters in the faith, Morgan, and she's going to share her testimony with you. Do we have a microphone? Morgan, I just want you to share what God laid on your heart. I'm so proud of you, honey.
Good morning. I am Morgan Filippetti. I've been going to His Tab on and off for 15 years. As a teen, I was highly involved doing drama, youth worship, dance, and I even remember doing 5 a.m. prayer on Tuesdays before high school. I've battled badly with severe depression, anxiety, and self-harm from an early age, but was constantly reminded of the plan that God has for my life from my mom, the Spencers, and the church family. Once I turned 18, I turned from God and ran, which I did a lot of. I went to Rochester after a college guy that was also from the area. Little did I know it would be the beginning of a toxic and abusive 13-year relationship with him, drugs, and alcohol. I remember it just started with smoking weed and drinking some wine and beer. It felt harmless, but all along I knew it was wrong. It wasn't long before I was drinking hard liquor and experimenting with harder drugs. What I didn't know is that doing these things with someone I had such a close relationship to meant that our soul tie and bondage to each other grew stronger. I can't remember exactly when it got really bad, probably just a few years in, and I found myself drinking every day. The drugs never really did it for me the way alcohol did. With alcohol, I felt invincible, and I felt less of the pain I was burying away. Together, my ex and I enabled each other's drinking and began doing it all the time. See, once you start drinking all day, you can't stop, or you start to feel very sick. So before I knew it, I was waking up, drinking to kill the hangover, drinking all day, no matter if I had work or school, and then would drink at night till I passed out. Together, my ex and I would drink a handle of vodka a day, sometimes more, just depending on how broke we were. Things hit an all-time low when I moved to Columbus, Ohio, and was being hospitalized once a month for pancreatitis and severe alcohol withdrawals. You can only go on blacking out so long before your body just gives up and you get sick, really, really sick. Alcohol withdrawals are the worst and one of the only withdrawals you can actually die from. I'd be throwing up, shaking up beyond belief, seeing and hearing things that weren't there, unable to sleep, unable to breathe. I would literally lay there and pray to God that I wouldn't die that day because everything hurt so unbelievably bad. That's when I found out about the pancreatitis, which was god-awful. You're in so much pain that they drug you up with morphine and Ativan, and you can't eat or drink anything, so you just lay in a hospital bed on seizure watch for about a week. I did this 7 times. I began spending so much time at the hospital, I had to drop out of culinary school. It wasn't soon before my boyfriend stopped visiting me and would refuse to even take me to the hospital. Finally, he texted me while I was in the hospital one day, telling me that I needed to go home to my mom's and that he couldn't do it anymore. Once I got back to my mom's, I continued to drink, but would hide how much, was even more depressed than usual, and was becoming increasingly suicidal. I decided to get help and go to rehab and try to stop drinking for about 2 years. I was in the BSU probably 3 times, went to rehab twice, but never staying sober longer than 2.5 months. My ex came back into the picture, and I agreed to get back together with him after I talked him into a stint in rehab too. But once he got out, we were both back to drinking more than ever. Wasn't until I left work one day, and I can't remember if it was because I was too hungover or too drunk, but I went home to him hysterical. I packed a bag and called an Uber to get brought to St. Joe's, where I knew I would detox, go to the BSU, and then be sent back to rehab. I will never forget laying there in that hospital bed detoxing. It was the worst thing I've ever felt in my entire life. As I laid there, I prayed and cried and prayed and cried. I remember thinking that I couldn't live this way anymore. I was so sick and tired of how horribly sick I was, both physically and mentally, and I didn't want to live anymore. So I did another stint in the BSU and rehab again, and this time it felt completely different. I was praying to a God who I knew was calling me back to him. I was only ran away from him for so long that I struggled to hear his voice before. I was certain that this time around I was truly done. The only mistake I made was going back to my boyfriend because he promised to quit with me. It lasted a few weeks before I caught him chugging vodka in the living room closet, and I finally knew I had to leave him for good and moved out a couple weeks later without touching a drop of alcohol. See, this isn't just a story of my victory over alcohol, but my victory over being in an abusive relationship for 13 years with someone I was convinced I'd spend forever with. I wasn't just addicted to alcohol, but to him too. Being sober has been the hardest but most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life. Sure, there are days where my depression sneaks in and says that drinking a bottle of vodka would make it all go away. But I always go back to the day in the hospital and how much pain I felt and how truly desperate I was. As AA says, easy does it and one day at a time. And that's how I got here. That's why I'm able to say that a week from today, I will be 1 year sober. I couldn't plead with you enough to cry out to God from wherever you are. Whether that's drugs and alcohol, sickness, the middle of a divorce, or at your limit with depression and anxiety, you just have to want it bad enough. That's it. God is literally standing right there just waiting for you, but you have to make the choice to run to him, to literally abandon everything you know and run to him. I was given a death sentence by the doctors each time I ended up back in the hospital. It only takes one more time for you to drink like this and you will not make it. And here I am today, the healthiest I've ever been. My mental health has finally been managed properly and I couldn't be more proud of myself. And I'm happy. I thought that being sober would be miserable and it's proven to be quite the opposite. I'm so glad to be alive today and to be able to tell you that my healer, my comforter, and my Redeemer lives.
Wow. I want to change. Each one of us are in a position, and some of you are young, and you haven't gone through hard, difficult times. And this is why, even in water baptism, I always pray when I'm praying for the young people, God, protect their soul so they don't have to deal with the wounds that others have had to deal with. But today, I just really, in my spirit, and I'm not going to be long. I'm not going to be. I am so excited that you and I have to make a choice and a decision to change. And you want to change. Morgan wanted to change. Morgan wanted to be happy outside of alcohol. Morgan wanted to be happy outside of an abusive relationship. Morgan desired that. I remember she stayed with us many times at our house, and she's friends with our kids, and she hung out as a teenager and did enormous amounts of ministry in the church. And we watched her spiral it was horrible. And her mom and us, and we pray and we see God, and we be there for her when she would call. And it was so important that she knew that people were there for her, that when she needed to call out on Jesus, she wasn't alone. And I want to remind you our verse for the year, Isaiah 43:19. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth, but will you not be aware of it? You see, that's the problem. So many of us are not paying attention to the changes God wants to make in our lives. Well, you know what I'm challenged about when I even start talking about that is many of us literally don't believe that God has good things for you. I was talking to somebody about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they said, it's kind of scary. And I said, why would you think that what God has for you would ever be scary? God only has great things for your life. God only has good things for your life. James chapter 1 says it. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. God only has goodness for you. And every change that you make for him, every change that is made in our lives to move forward in our walk with God will not snatch things from you, but will actually add things to you. You will not feel lost, but you will feel great gain. But yet we have to convince ourselves that I want to change, and we do. We want better. But do we want it more than we want what we had? New Year's resolutions have already been passed and everyone's already abandoned them. Amen. The week of fasting and prayer is gone. And the dedications and pledges and promises that many have made to God have already deceased. Statistically, it's amazing. It's a horrible statistic. It says this: a while back, my company polled over 1,000 who invested in personal development seminars and courses and set goals and worked on the goals for 90 days. The data from these polls was pretty shocking, as 96% of their personal development efforts completely failed. What I'm here talking to you about today, when we're talking about changing forward, is not changing in your might. You see, this is where so many of us fail desperately, because we're trying to do all of this in our own capability. We're trying to use our own self-will power. But you and I don't need to do that. Every change that God brings to us, that God performs for us, is literally that God is working in and through us. You're not doing this in your own strength. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We've got to come to a realization that every change that God is asking for us and from us in his word, that God will empower you to accomplish that, not through your strength, but through his strength. Most people really want to be changed, but what they're tethered to is their entire past. Some of you have sin in your past that seems to like conquer it for a while, and then boom, it pops back, and you thought you made the changes, and now you're back to where you were. And then you give up. Turn to someone and say, giving up is never an option. Tell somebody else, giving up is never an option. You know change is right there. You know God's best is right there. You know God's direction is right there. You know God's change is right there, and you're moving towards it. And it feels like chains are holding you back. That sin, that attitude. Jesus, help us all with attitudes. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I was just coming back this last week and met a very attitudinal young man. I was a little shocked. I hadn't seen an attitude like that in a long time. But attitudes can hold you back from what God's blessings are in your life. Unforgiveness will hold you back. Grudges will hold you back. Habits will hold you back. Addictions will hold you back. But when you stare at these changes in and of yourself, you can only see impossibilities. I can't see myself breaking this power. I can't see myself breaking this sin. I can't see myself breaking this addiction. And you've got to come to the realization that when God is talking about change, he is saying, I'm going to work with you. I'm going to give you the power to bring the change. I'm going to give you the power and the anointing to destroy every yoke of bondage. You're not doing this on your own. You don't have to stand in the strength of your own. I'm going to give you the grace and the authority to stand, and after you've done all you can do to stand therefore. You see, you are a new person. Many of us forget that in our change, we've got to abandon what we were. No, I'm not talking in the natural, I'm talking in your own brain. So many people never allow themselves to be free from who they were. They're always, every time you talk to them, it's about what they were, what they did. But I've got good news for you. What you were and what you did is now gone. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ, shout, I belong. Shout, I belong. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. The word new literally means you got a brand new nature. Peter talks about it, that now you have the nature of the Holy Spirit. Now that you know God, he dwells inside of you. You have a new nature. You're not of the nature that you were. You're not the same person. Stop always seeing yourself for what you were. You've got to see who God says you are. You've got to believe that where God wants to take you, he's not going to make you do it on your own, but he's going to empower you to get there. But if you never see it, you'll never get it. If you never see it, you'll never acquire it. If you don't believe it, it can't be done. You've got to have faith that if God says you are something that you are, no matter what you were, no matter what people say, even no matter how you feel. You've got to make a decision to agree with God. This is a challenge for many people when it's coming to the crossroads of change. You see, I can preach a whole year on change. I can preach a whole year on how God wants you a new man and a new woman. But until you believe it, it means nothing. Until you decide, it has no meaning to it at all. Until you're willing to put your faith to the change that God has for you, then you'll never believe it for yourself, but you'll believe it even for somebody else. You've got to make choices. And these choices are challenging. Pastor, I seem to sin the same sin all the time. I seem to get victory and then end up back in the same sin again. Pastor, I try to forgive them, but they hurt me so bad. Pastor, I tried to change my attitude, but you know I'm redheaded. Well, you know I'm Irish. Pastor, I tried to change my attitude, but it is what it is, and you get what you get. Until you want to break off the chains that are holding you back from true change forward, then you'll always remain where you are. You will look back at your life and see regret in your life. And I don't know about you, I don't want to regret. I don't want to lay on my deathbed and regret where I ended up. And I'm not talking heaven or hell. I'm talking what I did on the years that I had on the planet. I want to look back and say, God, I did all that I could do for you. God, I tried to be that servant that you desired. I tried to please you. Oh, God, I thank you that you took my life and made me what you wanted me to be. But you've got to be willing to change. 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 Now, you've got to be willing to change. Because I thank God for who you are, but who God has you to be is greater than where you are. But you could never have your greater if you're always settling for the lesser. It's time to move forward. It's time to change forward. It's time to believe that God has greatness for you. You know, there's a verse in the book of Exodus chapter. Come on now, where are you? I'm looking for you. Exodus chapter 12. There you are. Exodus chapter, literally, I can see verses. Exodus chapter 12, where God said to him, he says, I'm going to make your name great. Some of you don't think that you're anything special. And that's just not true. You have been perfectly planned by God for this season and time on this planet. And you've got to recognize that you are not just somebody sucking air, but God has a dynamic, a supernatural, a very precious purpose for your life. And the breath that you carry is not a surviving breath praying that you get the next one, but it's a breath that's going to give life to somebody else. And listen now, this morning people are going to watch online. This morning people are going to watch on TV. This morning people are going to hear the testimony that came from this young lady. 3 years ago, would she ever would have thought that the words coming out of her mouth would have brought deliverance and healing to other people, it probably would not even have been a thought. But today she's a changed woman. Today she's a different person. Today she's not the same. She changed forward. But she had to make a choice to change forward. She had to choose.
Well, you know, Pastor, I've been serving the Lord for 476 years. Hallelujah.
If you're not dead yet, you still got something to change. Amen. Amen. Moses is a great example of that. Moses had anger issues. Moses looks and he watches an Egyptian army dude beating down and killing somebody. And so he goes down and he kills the guy. And he realizes, man, I'm in trouble. Pharaoh finds out I'm a dead man. He takes off into the wilderness. God reveals to him a burning bush. He shows him that I got a call on your life. And you would think that immediately he's going to go down and deliver the people of God. No. 40 more years. God was waiting for him to change for 40 years. Some of you have been the same person for 40 years. You know what's amazing is that God will even move his plan forward with your life, even if you choose not to change. And so Moses, off he goes, man. He goes down and, wow, what supernatural miracles, the plagues, and the children of Israel are marching out, 2.5 million people. The Red Sea opens up. Bitter water becomes sweet. We can go through all the miracles and the signs and the wonders. But it came to a place where God said to him, speak to the rock. And he got mad at the children of Israel. And the same old Moses manifested. And he struck it. And God said, because you were unwilling to change 40 years in the desert, you thought you hid that thing and that nobody would find it. But remember, that sin will always find you out. And all of a sudden it manifested and cost him the promised land. Listen, you can't make everybody else's choices for change either. You got Lot and his wife and his family down in Sodom. Sexual immorality, homosexuality was spinning out of control, and it was a vile, fortified city, and God sent angels to go down because the man of God prayed. Abram prayed. He said, now listen, God save him. And he dickered back and forth, and God agreed to send angels to deliver Lot. Lot went down, man, and all of a sudden down he's down there, and the angels are there, and the men come to the door of the house and say, send out those men that came to visit you. We want to have sex with them. And it was all the men of the city. They wanted to pair them out. Thank you, dear. Did you hear her stop me? You would think that was it. God said, I'm going to deliver you. And so all of a sudden, Lot, he and his wife packed up with their kids and off they run. And God said, don't you look back. And they looked back. Lot didn't look back, but Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. You see, you can't change somebody else. You see, you can't motivate somebody else not to want the past more than they want their future. You can't motivate somebody else to abandon what held them in sin and now you can be free from. You can't motivate them. You can only motivate yourself. You have to make a decision in your own heart. God, I want to change. But the great news again is that you don't have to change on your own capability. You don't have to change in your own power. God has given you grace, and that grace is not only the grace or the power to be saved, not only the grace and the power to go to heaven, but the grace and the power to live right here on this earth and live successfully to where you will please God, for he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for his church. The change that each one of us have to make, nobody knows really. Your wife doesn't know the change you need to make, man. And man, she might think you know. But you don't know the changes. Each one of us have changes internally that nobody else knows about but you and God.
And it's really nobody else's business but you and God. And you have to make a choice in your heart. Some of you have never truly given your heart to Jesus. I'm not talking that you haven't accepted him as your Savior. But you've reserved the majority of your life to live the way you want, but you still want to go to heaven. God is saying you're cheating yourself. What I actually have for you is greater than what you can create yourself. But you see, nobody can convince you not to look back if you like back more than you like forward. I could preach and preach and preach. There are steps we got to take. So I'm going to get a little practical. There are steps you have to make to change. Number one, you have to get with God and you have to say, Lord, I need you to reveal to me the changes that I need to make in 2021. What are those things, Holy Spirit, that you are putting your finger on, that I have held on to, that I have owned, that I refuse to give up? But God, this year, I'm declaring to you that my life is not my own. I'm declaring to you, God, that whatever you want me to surrender, I will surrender. However you want me to consecrate, I will consecrate. God, whatever you want me to give up, I will give up. Jesus, what do you want me to change? And your flesh will kick in and say, oh, so I find the law of my inner self, that evil present in me, the one who wants to do good, but for I joyfully delight in the law of God in my inner self. But I see a different law and rule of action in the members of my body, its appetites and desires, waging war against the laws of my mind, subduing me and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in me, in my members. Wretched and miserable man that I am. Who will rescue me? Who will set me free from this body of death, this corrupt mortal existence? Man, you read that verse and you just sit back and you go, yep, there's no hope for me. Nope, there's nothing I can do, I guess. If Paul's writing this, oh my goodness, what hope do I have? But Paul makes this declaration. You can't skip verse 25. Thanks be to God for my deliverance through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to know, no matter what God puts his finger on to change, you can change with the power of the Holy Spirit. That God will put those things that you have struggled with for decades, and he'll bring them into subjection. He'll subdue them, break their power in your life, and you can live free and free indeed, and you can change forward to be a greater man and a greater woman of God, especially in these last days. Some of you have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. You need more power. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The initial evidence is speaking in other tongues. It's time for you to go further in your walk with God. Take your next steps in your walk with God. Here's another practical step. You got to stop watching what you're watching. You got to stop hanging with people that you're hanging with. You got to stop hanging with people that you're hanging with. But Jesus was a friend of sinners, but he wasn't their buddy. How do you know when your relationship, your friendships are toxic? When they're more influential to you than you are to them. When you start changing your actions to please them instead of them changing to please you. At that moment, you know you've got to get rid of some of your friends. You've got to quarantine some of your family members. Amen. You got to stop going to places that posture you for compromise. Amen. I would never encourage Morgan to go get a job as a bartender. But yet,
Some of us will go to places and do things we know that are going to put us in a compromising position. And while we're there, we compromise and then we get discouraged. Come on now. Then you feel guilt and shame and then you got to start all over again. Just don't do it. Don't go there. I said, don't go there. I said, don't go there. Stop thinking the way you're thinking. Some of you got to get rid of your TV sets. Now listen, I'm not one of those freaky preachers that say if you watch TV, you're going to hell. But I will say this, the Bible says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hands offend you, cut it off. Not literal. What he's saying is this. If your eye, you can't control it or won't control it, then it's better to get into heaven with only one eye than two. Ultimately saying this. One kid came to me one day and he was a teenager. And he was into some hardcore porn. And I looked at him and says, you know, you got to get out of that stuff. He goes, I know, Pastor, I'm trying. He said, but man, when I'm alone in my room, I just get drawn to that computer and I just get sucked in. And then all of a sudden I've spent 5, 6, 7 hours in pornography. And then I wake up with guilt and shame getting ready to go to school the next day. I said, you got to get rid of your computer. He said, what? I said, get rid of your computer. He said, what? I said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If you can't control it, eradicate it. If it's a temptation, don't keep it next to your bed. He wouldn't do it. I knew a man who was into pornography. I said, get rid of all your tapes. He said, no. I said, okay. He said, but I'm going to get the victory. I said, no, you won't. You can't keep weed in your glove compartment and think you're not going to get tempted with the weed in your glove compartment. It's awful quiet out here this morning. You got to make choices in life, and there are practical choices. But yet in the supernatural, God has the power for you to succeed. God has the anointing to destroy the yoke of bondage. God has the ability that he's going to give you supernaturally to overcome, because that's who our God is. He's not just saved us in Mariettes in heaven, but he's involved with our lives. He's active in our lives. He lives in our physical, spiritual man. And here we are. We are the people of God, and God only has victory for us. He does not have defeat. We've got to make choices. And this is one of the challenges of coming to church. You can go to church that will preach you a nice little kumbaya message. Everybody is beautiful. I want you all to be just encouraged. Everybody, I love your socks. Y'all have nice teeth. Now, you see, I don't mind those encouraging things. I like being encouraged. Say amen. Amen. But I want to be challenged. I want change to come to my life. Yesterday, the 13th, yesterday, I was 38 years old in Jesus. Woohoo! But I'll be honest with you, I know I've only begun. And do I have things in my life that need to change? Just ask my wife. She says, you're perfect. That's what I feed her in the morning. We all have issues. We all have things that God wants to change in our lives. But we've got to have somebody speak to our life. If you only have people around you that are going to be sweet and kind to you and always say what you want to hear, they're not your friends. You need somebody who's willing to say, you need to change. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart.
Yes,
2021 is the year to change forward.
Amen.
You can't change where you came from. You can't change what you did. You can't change how you were. But you can change today who you will be. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit will empower you, will give you all that you need to be victorious, and God will work with you, and you will see great victory in your life because you do not have to be who you were. And today, I just want to encourage you. Yes, that's what I said. I want to encourage you not to do this on your own strength. Man, you need the Bible more than you've ever needed the Bible before. You've needed to be in the house of God more than you've ever needed to be in the house of God before. Someone called me recently and said, I'm depressed. I said, you haven't been in church in 10 months. Of course you're depressed. Well, I watch online. I'm sorry. The anointing is not the same. And Jesus did not say, come on now, and he's an all-knowing God, because he could have said it. Forsake not the assembling of yourself except by TV. Except by live stream. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourself as a matter of something, especially in the last days. You see, we need each other. We need people like Morgan, who stood up here in all bravery, and I just give you great kudos, and shared her life story as a young lady, which hasn't been an easy life. It's been a challenge. Thank God for Praying Mama. Amen. But you don't have to live that life. Thank God she's encouraging people to get out of that life. But you don't have to live that life. And Morgan, she didn't tell you, but she's in Bible school. She's in prayer. She knows God. She gets her anointing from the Lord every morning to walk daily. And when the temptations come, she already said it. I remember back in that hospital bed. I don't ever want to go there again. My question to you is this. Do you really want to change forward? Do you really believe that what God has for you is greater than what you have right now? I don't know about you, but I know this. I know what I was praying this morning, even for this church and for my own life. I know it's greater. I know the prophecies that have been spoken over this house. I know what God has said. It won't be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. It'll be thousands upon thousands is what was spoken. It won't be, God, thank you for how you prospered the church financially. The Bible, in fact, the prophets have spoken, three different prophets over different times have spoken, there'll be so much money in this house, we won't know what to do with it. We'll have to look for places to give it away. And let me tell you something. We have enough vision to give it away. Can I hear it? Amen. The prophecies is that from the ceiling, this prophet from New Jersey stood in and he said, there's going to be such a strong anointing in this house, such a strong outpouring in this house. It's going to be like the ceiling caves in from a deluge of water, and people are going to get out of wheelchairs. Blind eyes are going to see. Deaf ears are going to hear. Disease are going to be subjected. You see, I don't just say that. I believe that. I mean, we've seen trickles of it. We've seen even sprinkles of it. But I'm waiting for the deluge of it. I'm waiting for God to be so much of God that no man can take any glory. That all of a sudden we stand back and say, to God be the glory. Great things he has done, for God and God only could accomplish it. We've only just started. Don't get settled where you are. No matter what your age. No matter how old or how young. No matter how many years you've been born again. It's just the beginning. God has more for you than you can even fathom in your own, in our own finite minds. It's time to enlarge the vision. It's time to extend the stakes. It's time to grab your ropes and make your tent bigger. It's time to believe God. Listen, it doesn't matter where you came from. It matters where you're going. But if you have no change forward, then you can only stay stalwart. It's time to change. Turn to someone and say, it's time to change. Amen. I'd like to pray with you real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus,
I just thank you. God, thank you for the privilege that you have given my wife and I to be pastors over this house. Thank you for those who spiritually have entrusted, oh God, to hear the word of the Lord from this house. Thank you, God, for the voice of the word that is alive, quick, and powerful, and sharp. Thank you, Jesus, that this year, your church, what you have planned for this house, what you have planned for us individually, what you have planned for the church worldwide is so magnificent that, Father, our minds can't even wrap around the third outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But, God, we don't want to be lacking. We want to be ready. God, we don't want to be running, trying to catch up. We want to be ready to grab it when it arrives. So, God, change us. Individually and corporately, we say, God, if there's anything in this house, anything in our lives, individually and corporately, that need to change, Holy Spirit, please be the hound of heaven. You only have great things for us. Reveal them to us. Let us see, God, individually and corporately, what you have planned for our lives, that we have that vision to step into the next level. We just love you, Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of serving you. Thank you that you've never given up. The great, the best is yet to come. While the world is challenged, while the world might struggle, the cream will rise to the top, called the church, the bride of Christ. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you want God to change your life. The initial change is called salvation. You can't forgive yourself of sin. You're not innocent. But he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus died that you might live. Today, if you are in a sin that you know, you're living that sin, it's going to destroy you. You want God to set you free. Or maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. I'm not saying you don't believe in God, but you've never surrendered your life. Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Today, if you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, or you know you're not right with God and want to get right with God, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. I want to pray with you. I believe God will change you supernaturally today. Is there anyone in the room? I'm not going to wait long. I'm not even going to count this morning. Ready? One. Amen. Let's welcome Pastor Rhonda as she comes.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We want to change forward in every area of our lives. Jesus himself in the word challenges us to change forward in our finances. And Malachi 3, he tells us to bring all of the tithe, and the word tithe just simply means 10%, to bring all of the tithe into the storehouse. And he tells us, test me in this. Try me in this. Many people don't change forward because of fear that God's not going to bless them, that they don't have enough already, that God won't show up and they don't give in their finances. God tells us that he wants us to bring our tithe to him. And when we do, we can test him in it. And it says, will I not open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing on your life? So if you've never tithed before, God is challenging us in every area to change forward this year. And he says, go ahead, test him in this. Test him because he is a God that loves to see his people prosper. But as long as we don't change forward, his hands are tied. So let's untie his hands and our finances today as we give, and let him open up the windows and pour out blessings on our lives as we give. Amen. There are so many testimonies. We hear testimony after testimony of God's faithfulness in giving. So you cannot go wrong. You can test God. You can try him. Say this morning, all right, God, you said I can test you. Here's my test. I'm going to give, and then you watch God pour out. I just heard of one It was like an overnight testimony where breakthrough came. They sowed a seed on a Sunday morning. They were already tithers. They sowed a seed on Sunday morning, and something they had battled with for years, broke through Monday morning for them. And there was a very large retro for those years check that came deposited into their bank account. I mean, come on. Test God in this. You know, I can stand up here and say it, and you're like, yeah, whatever. She just wants her money. No, listen. I want the blessing of God to pour out on your life, just like He takes pleasure in the prosperity. I walk in this. I walk in it. You can walk in it, too, with your finances, putting it from the natural into the supernatural. You can't go wrong. So stand to your feet this morning. Let's give. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. Again, it's from the Word of God.
Next week, we're going to return to the way we used to do offering at the front.
Hallelujah.
So just to let you know that.
Yes. Amen. Woo. Yes. All right. Wow. They just got blessed on the front row up here. All right, we're going to make our supernatural declaration. We're declaring the Word of God, which cannot, it is impossible for it to return a void over our finances. So expect God to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing. Rebuke the devourer on your behalf, even this week. Let's declare it. Trip me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. Amen. Have an awesome week. Change forward. Be blessed as you go. The offering bucket is in the back. We love you so much.
Something happens when I call your name. 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 Something